I wasn't reading the WhatsApp. I should have brought some notes.
All right, so on we started the fourth parak last week. We're on Kaf Ted Amud Beis.
Fourth parak, sorry.
It's this is. I mean, there's no way around it. And you'll pardon me, and I'm almost abashed to say this, knowing the recording is playing. This is one of those gemaras you're going to find annoying. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not sure why this.
Well, did you prepare ahead?
A few lines.
Oh, okay. Is it not these first lines, but once we get to the next one. So you see, it's the first wide line on Kaf Ted Amud Beis. And as the Mishnah had said, let's go back to the Mishnah. Yom Tov Shavash Hashanah Shechal Yos B'Shabbos B'Mikdash Hayu Token of Alo B'Medina. When Rosh Hashanah came out on Shabbos, they would blow in the Mikdash, but not outside the Mikdash. How you define Mikdash is a matter of debate between the Rambam and the and Rashi. You see, Rashi says, "Avalo b'Medina, lo b'Yerushalayim, below b'Gvulim." Not in Jerusalem, and not outside of Jerusalem. Meaning the Mikdash means the Mikdash, the Beit Hamikdash.
Only the one in Yerushalayim.
What?
Only the one in Yerushalayim.
Only the one in Yerushalayim.
It was elsewhere, not
the Beit HaMikdash was never elsewhere than Yerushalayim. But Rambam says that B'Mikdash means doesn't limit itself to the Holy Temple, but to the city of Jerusalem. Mishacharav Beis HaMikdash Hitkin Rabban Yochanan Ben Zakkai Sheyu Tokin B'chol Makom Sheyesh Bo Betin. So after Churban Bayit, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, wherever there is, and this is a matter of machlokas, whether wherever there is a betin or wherever there is the betin, the betin agadol, they would blow there. Why did he do that?
To give the same kedusha the base did as a temple, the bet mikdash.
The kedusha?
The authority.
Authority.
I mean, what was the point? What was the factor at the Beit HaMikdash that allowed them to blow in the times of the Temple?
The center of Judaism. The center of the
Well, there are no Hidden. Doubts that somebody was going to be over on something in order to be able to blow shofar.
Well, there was no.
Well, generally speaking, there's an idea that, generally speaking, most categories of Dirabonans don't apply in the Mikdash. But it wasn't so much, but if that was the case, how would you be able to do that outside of the Mikdash? Because Yesh Shvut B'Yavne.
No, but in this case, it's the authority. The authority of
the, so it's the authority. So it's not the Mikdash per se, but what is it?
It's not the Kedush of the Mikdash.
It's not the Kedush of the Mikdash, it's the. No, that's not true.
We're not worried where there's a bait din. We're not worried that somebody was going to be over.
Which element of the Beis HaMikdash was it that allowed for the blowing of the shofar on Shabbos?
They could carry.
No, but that'd be true inside your own house. You could blow the shofar in your own house without a worry of carry.
But you can't just have it in one person's house and not another person's house.
If we took out the map of the Mikdash and asked you to point to the one place which is the kind of center of gravity which allows us to blow the shofar, what would you point to? The Kodesh HaKadoshim?
The Sanhedrin.
The Lishkar HaGozit. But it was because the Sanhedrin was there. Right? It's almost ancillary to the fact that they happen to be that. We can imagine a parallel universe. We can imagine a parallel universe in which the capital of the Sanhedrin is not in the Mikdash. I mean, it's hard to believe because it's so central to our idea of the relationship between the Mikdash and the Chachamim. But you can imagine a parallel universe in which Judaism looks identical to the way it did historically. Except for the fact that the Sanhedrin had their own building
somewhere else. You heard about the relatively new find in Mozart. They said that there was a Mikdash there during Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
Oh, yes?
It was half the size of the Mikdash, but it's the same floor plan.
In Mozart?
In Mozart. During 8th and 9th century.
During the 8th and 9th century
B.C.
During I mean, I don't know if it's Das Yachid, but...
Maybe it was like if you went and discovered the model at the Israel Museum, yeah. They would say there was a mikdash for very small people. Outside, walking distance to Eir Atika.
With a bishop.
Maybe it was a sect.
When did they discover this?
I mean, they've been digging there for years, but they just published this in bars.
So anyway,
yes.
Let's go back. So it was the presence of the Sanhedrin, the supreme halachic authority, which allowed for the blowing of the shofar, because in their presence there was no fear that the Chilul Shabbos that we worried about would come to pass. It's also possible, of course, that, you know, as you know, as opposed to all the other Yom Tovim, Rosh Hashanah is the only Yom Tov that comes out on the first of the month. And therefore, Rosh Hashanah is observed for 2 days everywhere. Because the Sfeika Dioma applies... Because they wouldn't be able to...
They wouldn't be able to pass, because otherwise...
Is that right?
Yeah, the 80 would get there too late.
No, I know that, but...
Historically, there's a question historically.
I thought Rosh Hashanah, until the French rabbis came to Eretz Yisrael, they used to have one day Rosh Hashanah.
There were periods historically.
No, I'm not sure that that's correct. I don't know about the French rabbis, but the Gemara here also discusses this whole topic of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah outside of Yerushalayim. So,
I'm sorry, I'm talking about Yerushalayim.
Yeah, but in the Mikdash, the Edim would come. They would know which day is which. So it is outside of Yerushalayim. Every day is a suffix. As we do everything twice. We blow the shofar. But in the days of Kiddush HaChodesh, they weren't sure which day was the real.
But even Yerushalayim, they were unsure because they didn't come too late. They would miss the day.
But in the afternoon. Yecholio that they, even in Yerushalayim they wouldn't know. Yecholio that there was clouds. Yecholio, right? But in theory, in the Lishchar HaGazit, they would know what the real Rosh Hashanah was. So, to overturn an Issur D'Rabbanan, even in Issur D'Rabbanan, a blowing on Shabbos, you need some clarity.
You mean
in the Mikdash, where the Mikdash means all of Yerushalayim, or just means Mikdash, right? So they would know what the Vada Yom HaKippurim was. So as on Shabbos, they know it's Vada Yom, not Yom Kippur, I'm sorry. They know Vada, it's Rosh Hashanah, right? So they know it's Vada Rosh Hashanah versus a Dirabona, so they would blow. But everywhere else, it's at best a suffix, right? And as they say, look, it's true, it's Shabbos, but there's a mitzvah tkiyah shofar. So perhaps that has something to do with it. Anyways, now the Gemara says, Mishachar beis hamikdash hidkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, v'chulei. Tanura banan. Pam achat chal Rosh Hashanah liyod b'Shabbos. Vayu kol ha'arim mitkansim. All of the surrounding areas, right? What would people do? If you were able, you'd go to Beit HaMikdash on Rosh Hashanah in order
to hear
the shofar. So Amar Lahem Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai livnei b'teira nitka. Let's blow.
He said to who?
The Bnei B'Tera. Bnei B'Tera were a prominent rabbinic family. The sons of B'Tera. There's that street in Katamon. Bnei B'Tera. Right? So Amrulo Nidon. Well, let's discuss it first. Like, they weren't sure that you could blow on Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. Amar Lahem Nitka. No, let's blow. And then we'll discuss it. So after they blew, they said, okay, let's discuss this. So then he said, Amar lahem, Kvar nishma keren biyavne, ve'ein mishivin lachar mase. Did I say they all came to Yerushalayim? No, I meant Yavne. Right?
Wasn't this with like the first year after the Churban?
I don't know if it was the first, but it was some point after the Churban. It was when they went to Yavne. Initially after the Churban, the Sanhedrin didn't move to Yavne immediately. There was a period, I think, when the Sanhedrin sat in elsewhere in Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim HaChareva. And then they moved out to Yavne at some point. I don't know exactly how long.
I don't know if there was Rosh Hashanah when they were still in Yerushalayim, not in the Beit HaMikdash.
No, I think they were there for more than a year. I think there was...
There must have been a Rosh Hashanah during that.
Yeah, but I don't know whether there was a Rosh Hashanah came out on Shabbos. So Omar Rabbi Elazar, Lo Hitkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Ela B'Yavne Bilvad. So the Mishnah says that when he said you could blow it where there's a Beis HaMikdash, where's a Betin, so Rabbi Elazar clarifies or limits what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said. No, that's only in Yavne. And as everybody understands that the Lishkat HaGazit in Beis HaMikdash was one thing. Yavne was already something else. But after Yavne, it further deteriorated. So that somehow Yavne was, the years that the Sanhedrin was in Yavne, right, was even better than it was when it went up to Tzipori and to all these other places. Perhaps because of the presence of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, perhaps because it was that first generation of people that were still members of the Sanhedrin in its full force in Beit HaMikdash. Who knows? So he said, no, that heter to blow in the Bet Din was only the Bet Din of Yavne. Amrulo echad Yavne ve'echad kol makom sheyesh bo Bet Din. So the Chachamim replied to Rabbi Elazar and said, no, it's not limited to Yavne, it's any place where the Bet Din is. Which Bet Din? We'll have to see. In other words, does Bet Din mean the Sanhedrin? Does Bet Din mean... So Amar lo Hainu Tanakama. So they say, wait, so one second. Now remember, the Gemara we saw last week, what's the whole point of this idea of not blowing on Shabbos? Shema Yavenu Arba Amos B'Shus HaRabim. Right? Like Shofar, like Lulav, like Megillah. We're afraid that since the obligation is incumbent upon each and every person, right, that you will take your Shabbos, but not everybody's able to blow a Shofar, not everybody's able to read the Megillah, not even everybody knows how to do the Lulav. You'll take your mitzvah.
Or you'll have to check to see if it's kosher.
Maybe, but maybe just simply you'll take it in order to
to give it to somebody else to shake.
Yeah.
They didn't say this about Mila.
Yeah, and it's a good question. Why not? And you know, like if you live someplace where there's no Eruv and you have to have a bris mila, it's complicated because you do have to carry one thing.
The baby.
Yeah, the baby.
But you do it in America. For the
right, so you do this. So it's possible that.
That wouldn't be a law in Shabbat, even though there's no Eruv.
Yeah, betach. But so the moral has to come. The moral has to come. He has to drop his stuff off before Shabbos to the house. And everybody gathers in the house, and you have the Mila in the house on Shabbos. It's possible that there, that even though everyone's obligated in Mila, not everyone is obligated in Mila all together on the same day of the year. For everyone, right? It's a different kind of thing. It's not. You know, and some people never have to perform bris mila. Some people don't have children. Some people have only daughters. Some people, you know, who have sons don't have the bris on Shabbos. So, you know, so it's not the kind of thing where you'd make a gzera for the yotzei dofen case.
It's not the only mitzvah to say. We also have
Well, it's not Mevatel Shabbos, but it's, yeah, well, so Korbanot is easier because Korbanot take place only, there's no Havamina that somebody's going to say, well, I have to bring the Korban Shel Shachar,
But your original point is, why would we blow Shofar, even in the Beit HaMikdash on a Shabbat? Why would we think that we could do that? Why wouldn't it always be...
No, because everybody's obligated in Shofar. And even though everybody's
like
obligated,
there are
mitzvot asay in the category that are doche Shabbos, like certain korbanot.
Yeah, and achinam. Well, that's a machlokas, but that's
right, right. Drawing blood, whatever it is, right. So I'm sure that the moil is going to carry something. It's the issue of making the infant bleed.
So the Yerushalmi says that the pasuk after Tkiyah Shofar, the pasuk after tells us the kraftem. The Yerushalmi learns it from a pasuk. There's one pasuk saying Parshas Emor. It says, "Daber b'nei Yisrael le'mor b'chodesh ha'shvi'i be'echad l'chodesh yelachem shabbaton zikron shua mikra kodesh." The next pasuk says, "Kol melechet avdolot ha'asu ve'graftem ishe la'Hashem." Right? You bring a korban. So Yerushalmi says, any place that you bring a korban, like Beit HaMikdash, so that's where you can blow the shofar even on Shabbos. Now, since there's a smicha here between the Tkiyat Shofar and the Hakravas Korban, so Yerushalmi wants to say, right, that right, that now, the Tkiyat Shofar, even on Shabbos, is only a chiyuv in a place of Hakravas HaKorban. And then, because it said b'chodesh hashvi be'echad l'chodesh, so that's what I said earlier. That's the Yerushalmi. That only in the place where you know b'vada'ut that it's the echad l'chodesh of chodesh hashvi'i, and it's that can only be in bet din, right? That's that only there can you do tkiyat shofar even when it comes on Shabbat. So the Gemara says. The Gemara says, "Amru lo haynu tanakama." In other words, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, "It's only in Yavne." So they said to him, "No, it could be in Yavne. It could be any place where there's a bezdin." But that's what the Tanakama said. So what's there should be a difference? So the Gemara says, "No, ika benayhu." They did not cry.
Why is that what the Tanakhama says? The Tanakhama says the mikdash you're talking about. Lo b'midjin.
Right.
So how's that the Tanakhama? How's it, I'm sorry, just on my phone. How's it?
Right. So that's wherever there's obviously there's a bet din in Yerushalayim, right? So was it? No, she says, no, there's an afkamina for a bet din akrai, for a temporary bet din. Right? In other words, a temporary bet din
is wherever they're sitting.
Well, in other words, there's a machlokas about what that is. The Ritva says that everyone agrees that wherever the shofar can be blown wherever the Sanhedrin is sitting. The Tanakhama believes that if the Sanhedrin is sitting in a temporary location, if they're on the move, the fact that members of the Sanhedrin are gathered together does not a bet din make for the purposes of Tkiyat Shofar. And there's the idea that it's not just the gathering of these 71 elders. They say the 71 elders all get invited. One of the Sanhedrin makes a wedding. So he has to invite everybody from work. Right? You know how it is. So they go. So they're all together there in Malach HaMisha for the wedding. Is that does that place have the din of the Lishkan HaGozis? No.
Right. So the idea there is it's not only the halachic authority that comes with the Sanhedrin being there. It's the halachic authority that devolves on that place where the Sanhedrin is normally sitting, or that Beit Din is normally sitting. Not, in other words, it doesn't occur just because 3 people or 72 people, whatever it is, happen to be in that.
Correct.
That would have been much more clear.
That would have been clear, according to that sheet. Yeah. This whole idea of Zecher Mikdash. What is this idea of Zecher Mikdash? In other words, in the times of Mikdash, they blew where? On Shabbos.
In
Yerushalayim. Either in the Mikdash itself or in Yerushalayim. Let's go like Rashi, which, by the way, works a little better with the words in the right. They blew in Mikdash, and if you were elsewhere in Yerushalayim, well, I guess you could walk to the Mikdash in order to be careful to hear it, but maybe you weren't able to, or maybe you lived out far away outside. You maybe lived in Ephraim.
Lived in Har Nof.
Right. I mean, there was no. It's a little bit of a trick question, of course, these places. But there were villages outside. There was Motza. There was Motza. What? So no. But there were Jewish villages outside of
that were
outside of the old city.
There were a long walk, but it might have been possible for some people. There were farmers.
Yeah. So after Churban HaBayit, he says, you know what? We're going to turn the Beit Din into Ki'ilu, like it's Yerushalayim. We're going to let them act the way that we used to act in Yerushalayim. What's another example of this?
In Allah, or general?
In Allah. Bizman Shebeit HaMikdash HaKayam, we did it this way. After Churban HaBayit, Zeichel HaMikdash, we all act as we would have if Beit HaMikdash was around. As if we had been in Beit HaMikdash, not just Beit HaMikdash was around.
I mean,
what?
Was
that list of
Tekanot
there?
Arba Minim?
Arba Minim. Yafeh. You know how hard it must have been to get people to buy Lulav and Esrog outside of Yerushalayim? You lived in the Galil. You live in the Galil. You're going to spend all that money for a one-day mitzvah? But people did, or they didn't. Right? Why? Because Minat Torah... Minat Torah, how many times do you have to take a lulav and esrog? One day. Lekachtem lochem. No. Minat Torah, one day, even if it is on Shabbos. Lekachtem lochem biyom harishon pri etzadah. So why do they take it 7 days in Beit HaMikdash? What's the pasuk? Lekachtem lachem biyom harishon pri etzadah kapot marim anaf etzavaz usmachtem lifnei Hashem elokechem shivat yamim. So the Gemara says, you do the mitzvah for one day, but you rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. How do you rejoice? By doing the mitzvah. Where do you rejoice? What?
Before God, it's Beit HaMikdash.
In Beit HaMikdash, Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem means Beit HaMikdash. So in the Mikdash, it's a mitzvah 7 days. Outside of the Mikdash, it's a mitzvah only one day. What do we do? Well, 6 days. Because we don't do it on Shabbos. So when we do it all of the subsequent days, what is it? It's a mitzvah derabonan zechel mikdash. So let's say you're in Ephraim. Let's say, for example, you live in Ephrat. The first day of Sukkot, did you take the lulav? No, it was Shabbos. You didn't take it.
Oh, Shabbos.
But if it wasn't Shabbos, you would take it. What kind of mitzvah did you perform?
Diraita.
First day Chol Hamoed, you get up. You come here, you daven here in Mishkan Tzipora. You take the lulav again. What kind of mitzvah is it? Derabon. But then, your kids schlep you to Yerushalayim. Because it's Chol Hamoed, you got to do something. You're standing there in the old city.
The Chabadnik comes up to you.
The Chabadnik comes up to you with Lulav and Esther. What should you do? No. According to the Rambam, what is the definition of Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem?
Yerushalayim.
According to Rashi, it's just in Mikdash. So can you take? No, you can't go to the Mikdash. But according to the Rambam, if you're by the Chorva, you're still Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. So it's possible that there's now a mitzvah deraisa. You were only yotze derabonan, so you should perhaps take the lulav again, without a bracha, of course, because it's a suffix. But you should maybe take the lulav again in order to now get an upgrade.
Isn't a suffix deraisa? The mitzvah is deraisa. The mitzvah is not deraisa.
Aval suffix, no, brachos are always derabonan. Suffix brachos lekulav. Right, we always say Safik Brachos Lekul. So that's like a brisker chakira. Like if you're a brisker and you go to Yerushalayim, Achalamoy, some people are makbid, if you could believe such things. Only yeshiva guys who don't have like who've got a lot of time on their hands, right? They're makbid to go to Old City and Shlagalulav all 7 days because maybe it's a diraisa. But Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says Zechel HaMikdash. So the Zechel HaMikdash like this, where we... What are other Zechel HaMikdash?
Well, we have it at the Seder.
Zechel HaMikdash Kehillel. What do we do with that Zechel HaMikdash?
Eat a maror
and a sandwich.
Well, in other words, we don't really do it like Hillel. Because what would Hillel do? What was Hillel doing?
Meat sandwich.
Yeah, it was like New Delhi. Right, he had the bread. It was a little dry, right, and a nice kzayis basar. So, like a shawarma, right? And probably his pita, his matzah was more like eshtanu.
A wrap.
Wasn't
Mexican.
Probably
had to
have hummus.
So, what do? We have like lechem b'pita, but we don't even have lechem. We don't have pita. We have matzah b'matzah, right? You have, in other words, when I was a kid, we used to go to McDonald's.
You know, the kosher ones
in America back in the '80s.
McDavid's.
And I had a friend who was like this very picky eater, and he used to drive his mother crazy. So we'd go out like the kids and the parents. And you know, you get a hamburger, get a french fries, whatever. So he would ask for a grilled cheese sandwich. So they said, this is McDonald's, we don't have grilled cheese sandwiches. So his mother would say, make him a cheeseburger, hold the burger.
Yeah.
Did it work?
I think that as long as you're willing to pay, you can get whatever you want. So what is Hillel? Hillel is, it's just the, remember the commercial, where's the beef?
Yeah.
All right.
Parts.
No, and that's what we say in the Haggadah. It says, "Kach haya elelo sebes manchebet mitzrayakan haya korech pesach." And the word pesach in the Haggadah is in parentheses, right? Look in your Haggadah. The word pesach is almost always in parentheses. Mm-hmm. It's there. It's like keilu, like in the Sefer Torah, when you have the dots above the things. What are the dots above the words? I like to say that it's there, but it's not there. Like it's erased, but we can still see this. Why? Because we don't want to say that we're eating the Pesach. Right? Because we're not eating the Pesach. I mean, not only we're not eating the Pesach because there's no meat in this Korech, but we're also not eating the Pesach because we can't eat the Pesachim. Right? So we're kind of like indicating that this is what he used to do, and we're doing it, but we're not really doing it.
Well, I suppose you could say in a certain way that tefillot, the fact that there's manim for the tefillot, or kind of zechel mikdash.
No. It's not zechel mikdash, because that was the case even bisman shebeit mikdash haya kayam. That's the Gemara. Aren't you learning Daf Yomi?
No.
So we learned it last week. The last week was Easy Street on Daf Yomi, because it was Tefillas HaShachar. which is a Gemara that everybody learned in fourth grade or whatever it was, and you learned it many times. It's a Gemara it's a Gemara that's, for people that know Gemara, it's a Gemara that's often well known. Right? I've probably taught Tefillas HaShachar more than any other. Certainly, I've taught Tefillas HaShachar more often than any other Gemara. So it's easy street. You can just like boom right through the Gemara. So there, that's the Gemara about Tefillas Avos Tiknum or Tefillas Kenegat Tamidim Tiknum. Right? And the conclusion of the Gemara, it's always frustrating because, you know, it goes on for like a whole long Amud. And the Gemara says, no, but it's worse than that. It's the Gemara says, is it this or is it that? And the Gemara says, it's both. Right? Right? Tefillas Avos Tiknum. Vasmechinu rabbanan akarbanos. It's a shiluv,
right?
It's a combination of the two. The zmane tefila, right, are connected to the karbanos, but not exclusively. Right. But the idea.
Isn't that brought down in Yerushalmi also?
Yeah, but it's also here in the Bavli. Okay. Zechel and Mikdash. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's takanos here were a way of preserving the practice of what was done in the Mikdash by imitating, by mimicking the practice in the Mikdash. Even when that, why? In other words, Bizman and Mikdash, no one in Efrat would have taken the lulav 7 days. After the Mikdash is gone, we say, you know what? We have like a Mikdash Ma'at. Your shul and Efrat, it's like a Mikdash Ma'at. And we're going to pretend to do the ritual here a way that we would have never done it if we still had the Mikdash. Right? In order to remember that that's the way they did it in the Mikdash. Right? You take the lulav. You if there's a betin, you know, in the times of the Mikdash, you blew the shofar in the Mikdash. Why? Not because it was the Mikdash. Because the Mikdash was the place that the Sanhedrin sat. So the Sanhedrin go to Yavna, you can blow it in Yavna. Right? And then, right, when you had the Korban Pesach, and there's the whole Seder Pesach is one big illusion. Because we're missing the main ingredient. Right? And we talk about it, and we think about it, and we point to the chicken bone on the plate.
You don't point.
You don't point. Right? You don't lift it up. You can point. You don't lift it up.
No, I said, I don't even point.
Okay, but there's a chicken bone there.
Your Art Scroll for God says don't point.
If Art Scroll says it, so then it must be true.
You can't say the Art Scroll for God. There are many Art Scroll for God.
Right? Anyway, so you have the chicken bone there. But we're missing the main ingredient, and we eat it like they used to eat it, without it. But then there's a different kind of zechel mikdash. The opposite. It's like matter and antimatter. Would you pass me that napkin? One Zechel HaMikdash is to create the illusion that the Mikdash still exists and we are still in it. The other Zechel HaMikdash is to bash home the painful message the Mikdash is gone and life is not the same.
Oh, like Ash on the Chatan.
Ash on the Chatan. Scraping off the tefach by the door. Breaking the glass. Well, breaking the glass, that's a machlokus. But that was in the other yesterday's daf. Are you up to it yet?
Passed it.
No, so that's the Gemara at the beginning of Ein Omdim. That even in like the height of Simcha,
he broke a valuable glass.
But presumably it's connected to Imeshkachech Yerushalayim Tishkach Yimini, right? Im Lo Ales Yerushalayim Alav Simchosi. Oh, you heard Mark Lerman's daughter got engaged. So there's like there's.
I couldn't get him telling you who the guy was though.
Why?
He sent a picture. And said
he lives down the block.
What?
His family's from?
I don't know him.
Oh.
There are a lot of people around here that
Harbel.
I know. So I said, who is he?
Hyman.
And he
Hyman
told me that it's Tiferet's boyfriend.
Yeah, so. Yeah. He has a, Rahman al-Hassan is a brother who was killed in,
we're going to get Harbel.
Who's this?
Harbel Hyman, yeah. So his older brother.
Hyman.
Yeah, yeah. So, what was his older brother's name?
Yuval.
Hashem Yikam Domo. Okay. So the Gemara says, Omar Rav Huna, ve'im betin mai. What does it mean, with a betin? Right? You blow the shofar. Ve'im betin bifne betin. No, it means if you're there in the presence of betin. It doesn't mean like you can blow if there's a betin somewhere in the world. It means in betin, if you are present with betin. La fuke shalo bifne betin. Dilo, because if you are not in front of the betin, if you're not in their presence, so then you can't blow. Right? Now, if you live in Yerushalayim, you know, in Yerushalayim there's a batei din. You live in Yavne, but you didn't get out of bed. Right? You can't blow.
You can't blow though.
Right? So motiv Rava, v'od zot haita Yerushalayim, yitera al Yavne. But the Gemara says, wait a second, is that true? Mativ, we're going to attack this. So we're going to bring a source from the Mishnah, which is going to critique this idea. Because the Mishnah said that nevertheless, they blew in Yavne, they blew in Yerushalayim on Shabbos. But Yerushalayim had an advantage. What was the advantage? Go look at the Mishnah. Shekol ir shehi ro'eh v'shomat v'krovav yechol alavot tokin. So what does that mean? Does that sound like you have to physically be in the room with the betin?
No.
Obviously not. So my v'od, what does it mean? V'od, Yerushalayim was had this advantage. V'od zot, ilema kidiketani zot miboyle. Ela de Yerushalayim tokin yechidin. Uviyavne ain tokin yechidin. So if you want to say it means that Yerushalayim, even an individual, if you're in Yerushalayim, and you're in the Rova, and the Beis HaMikdash is down there. Like, it's crazy, but people didn't go. You know, like, there's a shul here, there's a shul, there's minyan three times a day, even four times a day we have minyan now. And the people that live, you can see their house from here, and they don't come to shul. So, maybe. But in Yerushalayim, maybe it was also the same thing. Not everybody in Yerushalayim went to Mikdash every day.
It's crowded.
Smelly.
It wasn't smelly. Wasn't it about the Betin? Like in Yavne, for instance, does it mean the members of the Betin had to be there?
Yeah.
Not just that there was.
It was like a ceremony, like Lahavdil, like Kiddush HaChodesh, right? When they said the Edom came to Betin, it meant they came, that witnesses were present in. Right. You imagine it's like Lahavdil, it's like the Supreme Court. Right? Okay. Like the Supreme Court here, the Supreme Court there. They have a place, they have a courthouse. Mm-hmm. Right? In other words, there's an idea that, in other words, like a judge has authority. The judge steps out of the court, he's no authority. In the court, when he's sitting in judgment, he calls the shots. He determines what's admissible, what's not admissible, who's guilty. So like a judge is walking down the street, right? And he's witness to a crime, right? So we don't say, well, he's the judge. He can pass judgment right there. We can skip the testimony because he witnessed it himself. We can skip the arguments back and forth because he knows the facts. So let him just pass judgment right there. No, obviously not. He doesn't possess authority unless he's there as part of the ma'arechet of how things work. So here, in Yerushalayim, so if you were a yochid, you could blow the shofar, but in Yavne you couldn't blow the shofar as a yochid. You could only hear it blown if you got yourself out of bed and went to hear it in the Bet Din in Yavne. Uviyavne ein token yechidit. Vaha ki ata Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef amar ki mesayim shlicha de tzibura tekiya biyavne lo shama inish kal onya mikal tekuya. So he says, wait a second, that can't be. You mean, what do you mean that Yechidim couldn't blow the shofar in Yavne? He says, in Yavne, after the Shaliach Tzibur blew the shofar, you couldn't hear yourself think. Right?
From the sound of everybody.
From the sound of everybody all over town blowing their own shofar. So what does that sound like?
Everybody was blowing.
That everybody was blowing. Ela lav to be Yerushalayim token bain biz. So what does it mean? What's the yitera of Yerushalayim token bain bizman beitin uven shelo bizman beitin uveyavne bizman beitin in shelo bizman beitin lo. No. So what was the advantage? Beitin sat like they had office hours, right? And probably it was more or less looked like the time you look on the luach for Rosh Hashanah. Davening starts at 7:30 in the morning, and it's over on Rosh Hashanah like 11:30, right?
Optimistic.
Usually that's, unless there's a drusha. Right? It's 11:30, 12. So what would people do? They would go to Betin, they would daven, they'd blow shofar as part of the davening, and that's how they would hear. So in Yerushalayim, during the time that Bet Din was operating, which more or less overlaps with the davening time, so you could do shofar, if you could hear shofar if you were in Bet Din, and if you were outside of Bet Din Yerushalayim, you could do shofar, and afterwards you could do shofar. When could you do shofar in Yerushalayim?
Any time
in Rosh Hashanah. But in Yavne, you could only do shofar as a yochid
At that time.
But doesn't mean necessarily in the presence.
But not necessarily in the presence.
Maybe that's why it was so noisy. Because everybody had to do it.
Because everyone had the effect. Because everyone had to do it more or less at the same time.
There's some coordination. They have to know when they could do it.
No, people knew that this is like, how does it work here? Everybody knows, like it's on the luach. It says, davening starts at, what time do we start here? 7:30? 7:30. And Tkiah Shofar is Be'erech 9:45. And there'll be another 30 kolot blown 15 minutes after the end of davening, which will be Be'erech 11:45. Right? So people had a sense of what time was what. And their davening was a lot shorter because they didn't have all the piyutim. You know, like if you strip Rosh Hashanah davening down to the bare essentials, it wouldn't be much longer than a long Shabbos. In other words, if the Chazaras Hashatz for Shachris and Musaf was just the Chazaras Hashatz,
without
the, just the Chazan repeats the words and you add in Kedusha, and in Musaf, okay, the Musaf Amida is the longest Amida of the year because you have the nine brachos, right? It's the longest Musaf of the year. You have all those Pesukim. But if all you do is repeat those words, add Kedusha, and Tkiah Shofar, and Duchening,
it's a lot shorter than
it is. I mean, how long would davening be?
Yeah, were they Ashkenaz or Sephardi?
They were Yidden.
like Chabad does today, not so many piyutim.
Right? So davening wouldn't be, davening would be, there's not even Hallel. Right? Kriyas HaTorah itself is not even so long.
So there's reason to hope for that. Beit HaMikdash should be rebuilt.
So presumably there was a shorter window for what that time was that they had to do all the davening. Ubiyavne bifnei betin shlo bifnei betin lo ika dematne laha de Rav Huna aha dichtiv. So they say yeshomrim, that's what Rav Huna is saying, dichtiv biyom kippurim ta'aviru shofar b'chol artzachim. What shofar is that? When do you blow shofar? That's the shofar of Yovel. Once every 50 years, there's an additional mitzvah deraisa to blow the shofar at the end of Yom Kippur. It's our minug that we blow the shofar at the end of Yom Kippur. L'shana Abba B'Yushalayim is like a zecher, not zecher la mikdash, it's a zecher la... Well, there's a lot of different reasons for that minug. But it's, you know, it's a minug. Although it's like, for some people, it's like the ikar. You know that commercial, Tzohar has that commercial encouraging people to come to shul on Yom Kippur? I always play it, you know, on... Come to shul, there's a place for you, you know, quote, look on the Tzohar website to find out where there's like a friendly rabbi in your zip code. You come, and you get to come, you stay to the end, you get to hear the shofar. Right? As if that ikar of Yom Kippur is the shofar at the end.
The sunset.
That's what Rabbi Soloveitchik said. So the shofar at the end is a minug, but it's a minug that, among various reasons, is zecher to the shofar of Yovel, which is a mitzvah deraisa. We don't have Yovel anymore, so we don't have that mitzvah. So
that's not a good idea, actually, because there are people that, you know, they figure that once they hear the shofar, they go home and eat, which is not necessarily...
Well, in other words, here, it's some shuls, that's why a lot of shuls are careful to schlep out the daven, particularly if you have this thing you want to duchen at Ne'ilah. So you have to rush Ne'ilah to get to duchening by Shkia.
And then you
sing. Whatever you do, Sim Shalom, and B'Sefer Chaim, and the Avinu Malkeinu. Right? You put on the brakes and you sing, you know, you sing the Avinu Malkeinu that have songs, you sing those. And then the truth is, you're allowed to blow shofar on Motzi Yom Kippur anytime after Shkia. But since people are afraid that you hear the shofar, what happens? You hear not just people that don't know. The women who don't stay for Maariv, they hear the shofar, they think, oh, Zeo, let's go home. We're going to go home. We'll start getting, because you have to get the bagels sliced and you have to take out the lox and you have to, whatever it is.
Mixing the dough, right?
Mixing the dough.
Isn't that what your wife does?
I don't know. She doesn't do that on Motzi Yom Kippur. So.
My fresh bread.
So in Achinami, there's that fear. So like when we blow shofar early here, someone always announces the fast is not over until whatever time that is. So there's the pasuk Biyom Kippurim Taviru Shofar Bechol Atzachem Milamed Shekol Yachid VYachid Chayav Litkoa. Omer of Huna. What? How do you see that? Bechol Atzachem, right? Omar of Huna, v'im betin mai, v'im betin bizman betin, lafuke shelo bizman betin, delo. So if it's not at the time of when the betin is doing, then you can't do it. Motiv Rava, tkiat Rosh Hashanah v'yovel docheh to Shabbat. Bigvulin. So he says. So Rava says that Tkiyah Shofar for Rosh Hashanah, Tkiyah Shofar for Yovel, are Doche Shabbat, even outside of the Mikdash. This is not the halacha, you understand. This is a position which we don't adopt. Begvulin ish uveto. Oh, I'm sorry, I read it wrong. Rosh Hashanah v'Yovel docheh to Shabbat. Begvulin ish uveto. My ish uveto. What does it mean? A man and his household. So ilema, if you want to say it, means that everybody's chayev to hear the shofar. Ish v'ishto, both man and woman. Itita mi mechayva. How is a woman chayev in tkiyah shofar? V'hamitzta se shesman gramai. Women are potter from it, even though women are very makbid to hear the shofar. And we say it's ki'ilu, like they are chayev, but in fact women are patur from shofar, both for Rosh Hashanah and certainly for Yovel. V'chol mitzvah shezman grama nashim patrot, ela lav ish uveto. It's not ish uveto, it's ish biveto. What does that mean? Every place, right? Each man in his own house is chayiv, whether he's in the mikdash or not. V'afilu shelo bizman betin. Lo, le'olam bizman betin. It's a motiv of sheshis. Shavai yovel Rosh Hashanah le'tzikiyo le'brachos. There's an equation between the shofar of Yovel and the shofar of Rosh Hashanah. For the tzikiyot, and for the brachot. Right, the brachot meaning the the nine, in other words, the brachot, the way that we do it, that you blow the shofar as part of the musaf. You have the nine brachot, the ma'alchil zechonot and shofrot. Ela shebiyovel token ben bebetin shekid shubo et achodesh, uven bebetin shelo kid shubo et achodesh. V'chol yachid v'yachid chayav litzkoa. Right, and as everybody's got to make sure to blow or to hear the shofar on Yovel. Rosh Hashanah lo hayu tokin ela bebetin shekidshubo et achodesh. So where would they blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah that comes out on Shabbos? Well, in other words, wherever they were. In other words, it's not just three guys who can do Hataras Nadarim for you.
It's the Beit Din where they did Kiddush HaChodesh.
Which is?
The Sanhedrin.
I mean, that might just be like a way of like connecting these ideas. It's the idea that Tkiyat Shofar is connected to Kiddush HaChodesh, and Kiddush HaChodesh is central to Rosh Hashanah, right? So in other words, there's some kind of connection between these two things. Ve'en kol yachid v'yachid chayav litzkoa. So ma ein kol yachid v'yachid chayav litzkoa. Ilei ma debiyovel token yachidin. U'Rosh Hashanah ein token yachidin. V'ha ki ata Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef amar ki hava messayim shlicha de tzubur tekiya de yamel kol ma'achom tekiya to de yachida. If not, everybody's obligated to hear the shofar. So what does he mean that in Yavda you couldn't hear yourself think because every single individual was blowing the shofar? Elalav deilu biyovel token bein bezman beitin bein shelo bezman beitin. Rosh Hashanah bezman beitin in shelo bezman beitin lo. Ketani mihat biyovel bein bezman beitin bein shelo bezman beitin lo leolam bezman beitin v'hochi ketani biyovel bezman beitin token. Bein b'fnei betin, bein shelo b'fnei betin. B'Rosh Hashanah, tokin b'zman. You see, understand what I meant? This is going to annoy you?
Yeah.
I know you. B'Rosh Hashanah, tokin b'zman betin, b'fnei betin. Itmar nami, omer b'chia bar gamda. Let's get to, at least to the Mishnah. Omer b'yossi bar shol, ben shol. Omer rebi, ein tokin ela kol zman shebetin yoshvin. So what does it mean? Let's get to an answer. It means you can only blow when the Bet Din is
actually
convened. Right? You know, like, the Bet Din is in, the Bet Din is out. Right? Like, look, that's why that whole idea of, like, you know, hear ye, the court is in session, all rise, and then the banging the gavel at the end.
Yeah, but the shofar in Yovel is Motzei Yom Kippur, right?
Yeah.
So we have to say here, we're talking about Shabbos, so it would have to be that Yom Kippur was on Friday. Others wouldn't have a question.
The Yom Kippur was on...
Because it would no longer be Shabbos, is what you're saying. If it were Yom Kippur were on Shabbos, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because it was any other day.
So well, it was already after Shkia.
No, but they would blow it in Musaf on Yom Kippur. And the end of
the Yovel. The shofar of Yovel was born.
So it has to be Bizman Shabbat HaMikdash Yoshvin Boy Rebbe Zeira Ninaru La'amot. If they were getting ready to get up, Velo Amdu. You know, like I do this, I have this bad habit when I'm teaching. Not here. When I teach my students. Like, so class ends and whenever class ends, but I want them to be paying attention to me the last second. But I also, like, I'm a little bit OCD. So I have all my papers around. So I start like gathering. I know that the second I start like gathering up my papers or like closing my books, right, I've lost them. Because they know if I'm already like getting ready to leave, they should already be out the door. So the Bet Din, they're getting ready to get up. But they're still technically sitting. Ninaru la'amod v'lo amdu. But they haven't gotten up yet. Mahu. And do we say Bet Din is sitting or they're not sitting? Mau betin yoshvin bo'inan. V'ha ika. So either we say betin has to be sitting, and technically they're still on the tuchzes. O dilma zman beit hamikdash v'leika. Or do we say no, once they've gaveled it to a close, even though they haven't gotten up yet, it's over. And what's the answer?
Teiku.
We don't know. V'od zot ha'ti Yerushalayim yeter al yavne. All right, well, so we'll finish that last line next week. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.